Hello, everybody. My name is Gage. Welcome back to another episode of the Girlist Podcast. I'm here with my co-host, Olivia.
Hi, everyone. It's me.
It is a couple days before Thanksgiving, so happy holidays out there who does celebrate Thanksgiving. It's crazy to me that the time is already here and, like, 2021 is almost over. I'm still, like, I feel like my brain is 2 years behind.
Yeah, no, same. And this is crazy because, like, this was the first year that I thought I was going to be alone for a second. Because I always, like, celebrate Thanksgiving with, like, my partner and her parents, and before that with my parents. But then, like, her grandfather's coming into town, and I was like, oh, shit. Because, like, he's old, and I was just really worried about, like, having to, like, you know, be like us in front of him. So I was like, I don't know, I might just stay home. So there was, like, a small opportunity, a small chance that I was going to stay home for Thanksgiving. So that was, like, really scary. But we just decided to just say, fuck it. And I'm just going to do it. I'm just going to go. But yeah, what are your typical Thanksgiving plans?
So I think this year, going to Russell's grandma's house, that's, like, usually what we've done for, like, the last couple of years. I wanted to see my parents or, like, go home. And I waited too long. I looked at the flights. They're literally $900.
Oh,
and
my.
I was like, okay, well.
To, like, fly?
Yeah, $900.
Oh, my God.
To fly.
Like,
a lot of airlines don't have any flights at all until January. I guess they canceled a bunch of them during the holidays. So the ones that still have them, they're fucking expensive.
Isn't that, and, like, a 30-minute flight, too? It's, like, really...
It's literally an hour and, what, 20 minutes.
What the heck?
Yeah. That's, so I was like, okay, maybe for Christmas, like, not Thanksgiving, clearly.
Yeah, I heard there's a backup in the flights, and that's been freaking me out because we're moving. And I'm like, I hope it doesn't, like, get too bad. I mean, I think February, it's going to be past the holidays. It'll die down unless there's a surgence in fucking Valentine's Day or something.
I looked up the calendars, and it's pretty much just, like, December and November where it's, like, extremely expensive, which is, like, normal because it's the holidays. But I guess, like, with COVID and still – there's still restrictions and everything, it's just kind of a little bit more crazy.
Yeah, I've heard that the percentage of people, like, traveling during the holidays has been definitely higher than last year because of COVID, but 3% higher than the year prior. So it's, like, increased in the amount of people traveling for the holidays, which I think people weren't really expecting. But I'm wondering what that – I wonder if that has to do with, like, people – I know a lot of people moved during COVID because their jobs became remote. So they're like, I'm just going to move anywhere, which is what I'm doing. But I'm wondering if that's why – but that's crazy. When's the last time you've had, like, Thanksgiving with your parents?
I haven't had Thanksgiving with them since I moved here. So, like, wow. 4 years. Yeah.
That's wild.
It's sad. Yeah. I just miss, like, obviously being with my family, but also just it feeling like fall and the holidays. Yeah. Like, it's been kind of cold here. So yesterday I kind of went a little crazy and I bought some clothes, like fall clothes that I'll probably have a heat stroke in and sweat through, but it's okay. It just fits the moment of it being Thanksgiving.
I live in Florida. So my whole wardrobe though is like all winter clothes. I'm like, that's just the cutest. It's fun. It's good to feel like you're in the vibe of not outside. Like, I put my air conditioner to, like, 72 degrees or something, so it feels like winter.
And you're wearing your little cute aloe jacket today.
I know. I got a little puffer jacket. I mean, it was cheaper than a lot of the other ones I was looking at. Luckily, they take Afterpay. And luckily, I did get a little bit of an increase when I started this new job of my income. So I'm happy that I got this, like, nice puffer jacket. It's fun. It's got a little collar.
It's so cute. We should get Aloe to sponsor us.
Honestly, yeah. I think you guys should just, like, message them and say, hey, you know, Girlish loves your stuff. Sponsor them. That'd be great because I always send you, like, the emails of everything. I always get emails from them and I'm like, I love this. I love this so much. And they always have such good, high quality stuff. And I don't know, I've just become, like, really into, like, athleisure, like, recently. It's just nice. It's cool.
It's the best.
Yeah.
Have you seen, like, those influencers, or Aloe specifically, they have those events, like, the like the Aloe house with like the winter wonderland where like everyone in LA goes and they're just like wearing their little winter clothes and ice skating around. I don't understand why we weren't invited. Like I'm
I don't kind of yeah confused. What the heck, where's my invite? Hold on, I want to
literally
look it
spend
up
so much money.
I like when I went to visit you, like not till a few months ago, my bank account suffered because there's actual like in-store like Aloe stores there. So I went to two different locations and there's an Afterpay in-store. And I'm like, but this is like too cute to pass up on this shirt that's $80. Like, why not? So my credit card suffered a little
Afterpay.
Bit. Yeah, oh, exactly. I mean, everyone's Christmas gifts this year too, all on Afterpay. Like mm-hmm. all of it.
They'll so all be I'm, paid off in like June. And that's okay.
Exactly. Exactly. But yeah, I didn't know that they put on events and stuff like that. Yeah. Why weren't we invited?
I don't know. I always see people like going and they're all wearing head to toe Aloe and they have like fun little events where like they do yoga or they go ice skating. I'm seeing some of these pictures of them doing yoga.
Very LA. I love that.
I'm also going to be liberally applying chapstick because my lips are like about to fall off. So
I know it gets cold. Like, I mean, you live in LA, so it's like pretty dry there. So I'm sure skin gets dry really easy. But I know in Florida, if it gets like 10 degrees below like normal, like if it's in the 70s, like my lips chap up like crazy. It's like wild.
It's disgusting.
Yeah, but yeah, I'm happy that I'm feeling the vibes this year because typically we don't really feel the holiday vibes. We like suffer a lot because it's like 90 degrees outside always here and it's like humid and gross, so you just never feel it. But it's been pretty chilly right now. It's I want to see, I think it's like in the 70s right now, which it's 75, which is pretty cold. Wow. For us, and when you go outside it's like it's a nice breeze, you're like wow. So then you're getting into the vibes. We watched a Christmas movie last night, put up our like Christmas tree and our lights. And so we're just like in it. We're like, I love the holidays.
Wait, I have a question. Have you seen the new Christmas movie with Nina Dobrev?
No. What's it called? Because we were wanting to watch it tonight.
It's called Love Hard. Honestly, I think it's iconic.
Oh, I was looking at different movies to watch last night and I saw this actor, Jimmy O Yang.
Yeah,
I saw his face and I was
it's
like,
so cute.
Yeah. Okay. I'll have to watch it. Yeah. We watched, it's so funny cause Emily and I's humor is so like stoner, like humor. We watched, I think it's called The Night Before with Seth Rogen.
Oh my God.
And like, it was a Christmas movie and like, we like loved it. We're like, this is our favorite Christmas movie. Like seen in a long time. So it was a good time putting up the tree and like being able to put that on, because typically we'll put like the Grinch on or like those other classics, but that was really fun to put on like a weird, stupid, obscure comedy. But yeah, that was fun.
That's cute. I saw you put your tree up in one of my stories. That's so cute.
She wanted to make like a hot chocolate for herself. And then anytime we go in the kitchen now, Fig, our cat, is conditioned to just follow us. So anytime we get anything, she's like, I'm going to eat that. So if it's anything dairy, so if it's any cheese-related things, like if it's cheese chips or anything that's like salted. So if I have my wheat thins, she needs to lick everything. And Emily made hot chocolate last night with whipped cream. And so like she just like was
she was going to town on that.
She was going into exactly. But yeah. Or is your Christmas traditions typically to stay in LA too?
Last year my dad came to visit. So hopefully this year we can figure something out. I need to like be more proactive to avoid having to spend a lot of money on a flight. So I'll probably start looking because I do want to go back. I don't know if like to spend Christmas Day there, but at least to go back during that time because I miss like Washington in December. So cute.
Yeah, I love it so much. Is it on a laptop or do they give you a desktop?
It is on a laptop, but I also have to do like field inspections sometimes.
Oh, okay.
So, I mean, I could technically work remote, but there's always that chance that I have to like go out and inspect something. Oh, yeah. So I don't know how that would work.
You just went to your first inspection.
I did. I did my first inspection. If you missed the last episode, I got a new job. I handle like home losses for insurance. And it was like the easiest first inspection I could have got. It was like the sweet little old lady. She had like a water leak from the water tank in her garage. And there was like two little drops of water on her stairs. And when I got there, I was like, sweetie, this is like, I don't know. This is not even, it doesn't even need to be repaired. But you know how like people will file a claim for anything. So, I mean, I didn't really learn anything because it was so minor, but it was nice talking to her. I was like doing my little sketch and like working on my laptop, and she was just standing behind me the whole time. I was like, you can go like attend to other things. I'll come get you when I'm done. And she was like, okay. Just stood there the whole time. Just staring at the back of my head. I was like, okay, that's fine. You can do that if you want. I don't know if she thought I was going to steal or something.
Yeah, that's interesting. To just like to go into other people's homes, I'm sure it's very awkward.
I've heard, honestly, horror stories from other people that go into like homes depending on what type of loss it is. So I'm kind of scared. But luckily, I'm handling like claims in the valley. So the houses are pretty nice. So I'm hoping the people that live in them are also nice and clean and don't leave any surprises for me when I walk in the door.
Yeah, I can imagine the things that you could encounter. I know people have no shame sometimes, and like their places can just be like really beat up. I know that can be to an extreme, especially with people who have like who like are hoarders and stuff like that.
Oh my god.
So to work through. But I feel like also when you're dealing with someone going through like a some sort of like debt property, like they're trying to make money out of this, especially with insurance, then I'm sure going to be in some sort of mood.
Yeah, they're like, oh, my entire house needs to be replaced, or the flooring, you need to replace all the carpets, you need to paint the walls, you need to do this and that. And I'm like, no, I don't. But I heard something from one of my coworkers. She walked into someone's house and it was like this older lady, single older lady, everywhere on every wall in every single room, naked pictures of herself, like spread eagle. And when she went in there, she made no mention of the picture. She was like, okay, so here's the bathroom, here's the bedroom, like you can look around if you need anything, come let me know. And she was like, okay, well, there's like, I can see your open spread legs all over this house.
What, like, an icon though.
Honestly, yeah.
To be like, I'm, I love this sense beautiful of decor. I'm gonna put myself all over these walls. Like, all she said, parts, I don't give a fuck. Exactly. That's really funny. Yeah. I feel like that happens. That would have to happen a lot, where people like have certain things that like you're surprised to see. I feel like it's a very quirky city with quirky people.
It's very quirky and silly.
Very goofy. Yeah, that's really crazy. Like, the most I have to deal with at my job is literally not. I don't like, because I don't really interact with anyone. My job is, it's crazy because going to this position, it pays more than my previous position. So I was worried that I was going to have to do a ton more work and it was going to be super stressful. And actually going into the shop, I was really surprised with like how, not easy, I would say, because I'm pretty, like, I've worked a lot on the craft that I have. So it's pretty easy for me to kind of pick up on the things I need to pick up. And there's definitely difficult aspects of kind of trying to learn the trade of what exactly I'm doing. But it's actually not so daunting as I thought, which is always great when you get into a new position and it's not any, like, I always freak out over the silliest things, over writing a Slack message, because I'm like, I don't want them to think that I'm like immature or I write weird or like I don't know. I think there's some trauma with like previous employers that have made you feel like you, like, you know, you're lucky you're even working there. But this job has been really great, where I'm like, I literally have nothing. I have no responsibilities right now. And maybe it's because I'm new, but everything's been pretty smooth sailing for me. But I'm really happy that your first inspection wasn't too crazy and it was with like an older person. So do you know if you have another one coming up?
Potentially. It's just like, we try and offer like a virtual inspection if we think it's not that serious. And I'm new, so everything that I get is not that serious. It's like very, very minor. So I'm sure it's going to take me a while before I get into some really grimy, crazy houses.
And you have to draw?
Bitch, I'm an architect. I have to take measurements of a room, and I have to build the room, all the affected rooms in a house, perfect to scale. I have to put in walls, doors. I have to put in cabinets. Like, I'm literally an architect. I'm a general contractor. I'm a contractor.
Why couldn't you just do that through a picture? Like, is there a certain... Because I'm like, you could do a picture. And if you have to do measurements, like, couldn't you just edit on the picture, like, this many inches? And, like...
Yeah, I guess. But, like, when I signed up for the job, I was like, okay, I'm going to, like, handle claims. Like, I handled car accidents, you know? Like, you look at pictures, and then you go based off of that. But, like, there's so many extra things, like, drawing sketches and learning... what type of building material, like the difference between engineered wood floor and like not engineered, like hello. I mean, I guess it's like good skills to have. Show me one of these images. Yeah.
I need to see your drawing skills.
Maybe I'll become a construction worker after, if this doesn't work out for me.
Go to your grad school for architectural.
I could be an architect too.
Yeah, you should. Mm-hmm. That would be really fun. Yeah, that's so cool that you have to just like be an artist on your job.
Isn't it so strange? It's such a weird job
to just have to like, yeah, to, because for me, like, I am the worst at drawing. Like, this is my handwriting. Like, I can't even, I guess handwriting doesn't mean anything with drawing, but like, it's bad. Like, I can't even draw like a dog if I wanted to.
Me.
So I can't even imagine having to do that. But I'm sure there's like guidelines on how to do stuff and everything like that. But yeah, picture, yeah. I think.
I mean, we have like a system, like a program that you can use. So it's a little easier, but I mean, I'm not an architect. It's really hard. It's like the part that I'm most confused about, but I'm sure I'll get it.
But that's cool. You said that in her house, she had a little framed thing inside of her garage. Which,
oh my god, she met, who is it, LeBron James and Snoop Dogg. Like, I don't know what she did, I don't know who she was, but she had some connections.
That's iconic.
And she definitely has enough money to pay for her water leak, like, I can tell you that.
Speaking of which, my partner Emily, she her dad is adopted, and he recently he got a 23andMe years ago for Christmas. So he recently connected, like, within this past week with his half-brothers that he didn't know he had.
Oh, wow.
So now he officially knows who his mother is and that she is alive. They still don't – the rest of the family still doesn't know about him, only the one half-brother. But, like, once we found out his name, we were Googling him. And he's, like, this, like, really, like – he works for, like, the Buffalo Bills or something. And he, like – he does, like, press or – I'm not sure what he does specifically, but – there's like a picture of him online that Emily's mom sent us, and it's him with literal like Ed Sheeran. And then so my mom was like, I think that's him. And Emily was like, no, that's Ed Sheeran. But it's, I think that's so funny that it's like, what the heck? But yeah, so I think that's so crazy. Yeah, to be able to reconnect with your family like that. I got a 23andMe. I just sent it this past weekend because I really wanted to know. Kind of everything that's happening in my life and in my family.
I went on my 23andMe a couple days ago, and I don't have any of the options to like find relatives that have also taken the test. So I should do that to see like if I can find anybody and where they are, if they've also taken the test. I think that would be interesting.
Yeah. So it's just like my dad got it, and it's kind of crazy because, with Mexican like individuals, you know that like we were colonized. Mexico was colonized by the Spaniards, so theoretically you should be like 50-50. Theoretically, that's not everyone. There's a lot more native in people's blood, especially if you're from Mexico. My dad has a 50-50 split, which I thought was really crazy. Where his family, like his genetic like tree, exists, like Exactly. Is that Jordan?
Yeah, I'm sorry.
No, that's so
I fed
funny.
her, but she's still hungry.
Yeah, is she like
Please
hitting the
stop.
ball, licking the ball?
She is going crazy.
Oh my God. What kind of food do you feed her? This is just side now.
We help feed her Hill's scientific diet,
Yeah.
for weight loss, perfect health. That's what she needs. And I guess it's
She's
just like not enough for
starving
her. She's like, I'm tired of this diet, bitch. Like, give me some food.
now. All right. That's really funny. Oh. Yeah, we have Fig. We just recently put her on Hill Science too. For like allergy, food allergies. But yeah, anyways, I was just saying that like yeah, I'm excited for my ancestry kit because it'll really give me a good idea on like I don't know. I've always wanted one, so we'll see. I just got it though, and now I just have to wait for the results. But you did yours and you said you found really cool stuff out.
I just reviewed it again and I found out that I'm 3% British. So I think that's why my British accent is like so good. It's because
Yeah.
it's just like part of my DNA.
I think you're meant to be a on Love Island, UK. I
I
think that's your
probably
calling.
I should be the host.
Exactly. It's Too Hot to Handle. That was a was that an American Netflix show or is that from the UK as well?
It's American. It's on Netflix, but like there's people from all over the world on it. So
Okay.
there are a lot of British people, but it is American.
I love your fascination with like the British culture. It's
I just
like
like their shows are so entertaining. I love how they talk.
was it Chloe? Was that her name from that was on The Circle?
Yeah.
And oh, iconic.
Icon.
Icon. I
She's
love her so much.
the
I
moment.
love how we always talk about The Circle.
We always
3%
can
British.
find a way to loop it back into something.
So overall, your European like heritage, what does it like exist as? Like what is the majority of it? Or like what's the
French and
number?
German.
And so like what's
French
the
and German is like
percentage?
26%.
Okay, so you're white. So
Yeah, I'm
you're a
white.
Caucasian.
I'm a
Oh.
colonizer.
Oh my God. I'm not excited for mine. I'm like I'm ready for like my mom to some so like for some reason she's not white, but it's gonna be like you're like 70, 80% white, then I'll like actually like kill myself. I can't
Yeah,
imagine.
you're like 7% Mexican.
Like European. Oh my God. I was like, who's my father? That's funny. But yeah, so I'm excited for those results. I want to know exactly. They have like a health screening one. Did you do the health one? Or did you do just the basic traits?
I don't think I did it. Actually, I think I did it. I forgot what the results were. But they tell you like certain things about like historically in your bloodline, you know, what to look out for. I
Yeah.
think I remember seeing something like that.
So it was $100 to get, it was like $80 for without the health. And I think it was 100 with the health. And I was talking with my mom on the phone. I'm like, I don't want to know. Like, I'm not gonna. And my mom was like, no, I don't want to know either. So I was like, okay, yeah. Like, I'm just gonna be too paranoid. If I find something that's gonna scare me, it's gonna like, I'm a freak. I get so freaked out. And also my brother recently was going through some stuff. He recently had a cancer diagnosis. So luckily he's okay. They like figured and fix everything. But now it's like, okay, my grandma had cancer, my mom's side, now my brother did. So now I'm like super like panicky about like my health and then like future generations' health. So it's just been like a lot of existentialism. So I'm like, I cannot know what's gonna like possibly make me sick in the future. And like I don't want that on my shoulder, my head. I can't. It's gonna make me paranoid. So I just got the traits. I wanna see like if I have any like hidden siblings. I told my mom, I was joking with her. I was like, watch our like my dad, like watch him have had other kids. And she was like, it wouldn't surprise me. So maybe I'll have a sibling.
So we were talking about 23andMe a couple days ago, and I mentioned that they clocked me
Yeah.
because so obviously I put female as my gender, and I guess when you do the test, there's like a way for them to tell through your saliva the sex you were assigned at birth. So they sent me an email and they're like, "Hey babes, we got it. But why did you put female when you're a male?" And I was like, they're like, "Did you make a mistake?" And I was like, no. And I don't know. I just thought that was so unnecessary. Like, why does it matter? I want to know what my DNA is, my ancestry.
Before I got it, I was like freaking out that you said that. I was like, oh my God. Then like, if it connects with family, it's going to say that like, oh, you have like a brother or like you have a cousin or like, sorry, like an uncle or whatever. Like I was worried they're going to like clock me to like family. But I think they've updated since then, because when I signed up, when I signed up, it asked for my gender and then it asked for my sex. And evidently the reason they asked that is because if they're doing like a health screening, then it has to do with like health and stuff like that. And which I think is just stupid. But yeah, like it just, it really upset me to have to. It's kind of crazy. And this happens to me every now and then where I'll have a situation that I experience and I feel like I've passed it like 20 years ago. Like, I'm like, I don't have to ever deal with me being called a male, like ever. Like that doesn't happen anymore because I've been transitioning for like five and a half years. So I'm like, it's like I don't even think twice about it. And so when those types of things happen, I just feel like, I feel like a man. I'm just like walking around and I'm like, oh my God, like don't look at me all day because I just feel so gross. And like the same thing happened with me recently with, I'm getting TSA pre-check because I really, really want it, but I need to bring my birth certificate or a passport. And my birth certificate doesn't have my updated name on it, and I don't have a passport. So in order for me, if my name has changed, I have to bring a court document with the petition to name change and my birth certificate with my old name. And then it's going to be so awkward. I already know because like my ID and everything says female, but obviously my birth certificate doesn't. So then I don't want this to be like an issue when they're signing me up, and like, I don't want them to say that I'm like a male. So like, I've just been like dreading this whole process, and I have to go into the appointment on Tuesday. And it's just those like little things that just get really like under my skin. Cause I'm like, I don't want to have to deal with that. Like, that's just really frustrating.
Yeah. It's so annoying, especially when it's been a long time. Because at that point, you kind of just forget and you're just living. Like, I forgot that my hormone anniversary was 2 weeks ago. It was my 6-year anniversary and I literally forgot. So that just like goes to show like how after a while, you don't really think about it. So like when you do processes like that, that remind you of like you having to change everything, it's just really stressful. And
yeah,
I don't know if it's just me, but so we went out to dinner last night. And we were at this pizza place. We went to Grand Central Market. So it's just like a bunch of different vendors that like cook food. So we were waiting. And the guy that was making the pizza, he was just literally staring at me the entire time. And whenever someone's staring at me, I either think in my head, like, do you think I'm attractive? Or are you trying to discern whether or not I'm a man? Like, that's always my first thought. I didn't know. Do you like ever think that? Or...
Oh, 1,000%. Yeah.
Yeah. No. You're like, oh, they're trying to clock me.
Yeah. So I go on walks, and I really like to go on walks at night. And like, there's a lot of people that are typically out at night, sometimes with their dogs, sometimes walking their own. Sometimes there's just neighbors on their balcony. And every time I walk, I'm always like if they're like looking at me or if I pass by, I'm like, they're going to clock me. They're going to clock me. And there's just because I'm scared because I'm walking like by myself sometimes at night. And I just get like really freaked out and panicky. But yeah, that definitely happens a lot where I just like, I really get like this intense fear of someone like clocking me. Or it happens, I don't know if it's ever happened to you where, let's say you are getting hit on, and then all of us like in my head, whenever that's happening, I'm like, okay, I have to like really be careful right now that they don't clock me in the process of them like communicating with me in the gender that I'm obviously presenting as. So that's like something that freaks me out. Like I one time had this guy in an airport, he talked about like my nail polish cause it was chipped. And he was like, you're never going to get a man if you don't like fix those nail polish or whatever, like present yourself more. And it was like something really misogynistic and it was like really fucking weird. But in that moment I was like, now I have to communicate with this guy. This is really awkward. I'm on the shuttle in the airport and he's like talking with me. So now I'm like, I can't like not communicate with this guy. And if I do, I have risked the fear of being like clocked. And I'm not sure if you kind of have that same issue.
Yeah. That's like usually when it's a man approaches me that I don't know, my first instinct is to like cut the communication off as soon as possible.
Yeah.
If whatever it is, they come up to me, I'm like, thanks, or yeah, or like something really short to like end the conversation. Because one, I don't really want to talk to you. And two, I don't want you to like think any type of way about me. Because you never know what could happen. Like, I don't want to get killed.
You're really good with that. Like, whenever, I think it was the first time we hung out, whenever I went to LA, we were like at a Walgreens, I think. And I remember just someone coming up just for saying something to us. And then you just like walked away. And I'm like, you can do that. You can just avoid people and like, bitch. Just like make sure they just like act like they don't exist.
I
and
do like, that that's all crazy. The time. Ever since I got AirPods, you can't say anything to me. Like, I can still hear people sometimes. I will not make any eye contact. I will walk right past you.
That's so. Like iconic. Like, I love that. Whenever you did it and I was like with you, I was like, that's such a bad bitch move. Like, I need
you
to
just
like,
have to have that energy. Just
yeah,
nothing. Just walk right past them.
Yeah, that's what.
Because what are like, they gonna say?
Exactly.
Do they have any value to add to your life? Probably not. They're gonna be like, oh, probably not. You're pretty. Like, okay, thanks.
Right. That's so crazy. What did you say earlier? Oh yeah, that you were getting pizza at that place. And you took a picture of your sandwich. Was it a chicken sandwich?
It was a chicken sandwich.
Yeah, and you put it on your Instagram story, and then you got the funniest like comment or DM.
This guy, he was like, "I don't want to see your burger. I want to see your face." And I was like, "It was kind of a compliment, but also like, just let me live. Like, let me take a picture of my chicken sandwich."
Yeah, please. That's so fucking insane. Those DMs are so funny. Whenever like. Or I can like post anything and I'll get some DMs that just have nothing to do with like what like the post is.
But, I love random DMs.
Yeah, they're pretty
funny.
They're
so funny.
Did he respond after you posted that screenshot?
No.
Do you know? Because I'm like,
I mean, I blocked out who it was. But yeah, yeah. If he watched it again, he would know that was him.
That was obviously him. That's so funny. Yeah, but I always like whenever anytime I get those like weird DMs, I'm just always like, I have to laugh at them because otherwise they're super creepy.
They're really creepy sometimes.
One time, it was recently, like a few weeks back, I got a DM saying like, "Hey, I saw you," and I was like too afraid to like stop and say hi, but I just wanted to know that like I saw you today and I saw you and your partner, and like I hope you guys are like, you know. It felt crazy because I felt like I saw a celebrity or something like that. And so like my mind first goes to like, that's really cool that this person saw me. But then it also goes to like, where do they see me at? Like, because like I don't like do anything. Window. I don't go. Right. So I'm like, wait, what? So then like I like start to panic and I'm like, I don't know. I always get I was so afraid when that happens. So anytime I get those DMs, I get freaked out. But they saw me like downtown in Gainesville. But I thought, it's cool. I know. One time I was working at Papa John's, like being like a bad bitch manager at Papa John's. And this one like girl came up to me, was like, "I watch your videos." And I was like, "Thank you. That'll be $6.95. Do you want a soda?"
So iconic.
I think I probably gave her like a soda for free. Been
recognized in public. Like, I don't know.
It sucks.
That says something about our status,
right? It sucks whenever it's like a, it's like a like when you're doing it at a job. I don't know if you ever got recognized when you were working on like when you worked at like Amazon or Target, but when I was like Papa John's in my fucking worst, like I look the worst. That was like the first time someone had said something to me, and like you know we're like I feel like we're like micro, not influencers, like video creators or whatever you want to call us. Where you know we have a small audience, but it is crazy to see how small the world is, where people like will recognize you, and you're just like, "Wait, what? That happened?" So I think that's crazy.
Yeah, I remember the first time that happened to me. I thought it was crazy because I was at Disneyland with thousands of people, and I only have like 30,000 subscribers. So it's just like crazy to think about how you know, it seems like a small. Audience, but you never know if one of those people is like near you at any given time.
Yeah. I always think that like whenever I'm in like queer spaces, I'm always like, would someone recognize me? Cause, I don't know, the universe of like queer content and queer and trans content has evolved so much since we were kids. So trans YouTubers aren't the same now than what they used to be. Now that there's a bigger audience, there's a bigger like crowd of them. So in like, in my head, I'm like, if I ever go to a Pride event, I'm like, I'm wondering if anyone would recognize me. Not in a way where I'm like, I hope someone recognizes me, but I'm like, I wonder if like my videos have any like sort of impact in the community that it would have like 10 years ago when there was like fewer creators. So it always crosses my mind. I'm like, if I go to like a Pride event, would I get like recognized? And like, not, I'm not saying that in like a, like, oh, I'm so popular, I deserve to, but I'm like, 20,000 followers or subscribers is a lot for, especially for like, especially if it was like 10 years ago on YouTube for like a trans creator. That would be like the majority of like trans people like on YouTube watching your content. Especially like when I was younger, I used to watch the like two or three YouTubers there were. And so I always find that interesting, or like a, like a, like
it has evolved a lot. Like,
yeah,
I would say like when we were actively uploading on YouTube, there was like a group of trans creators that everyone kind of like knew, like everyone kind of knew each other. But now it's blown up so much that there's so many people, and it's like good. Yeah. It's a good thing.
I'm not sure if YouTube has it anymore, but yeah, our channels used to have like related channels, like on our channels. So all the related channels that used to be like if you were to go to my channel, it would be like related channels on the side, and it would be other like trans YouTubers that YouTube would just put there. And it was crazy because it wasn't that many of us. And I think especially for trans women, there wasn't like when we started, I felt like there wasn't that many. It grew really quick for sure. But it definitely was like really cool to see that, like, you know, I still see some of the YouTubers that like we kind of started off with today. And I think that's just really cool how everyone's kind of, I don't know, how the whole universe of the content has expanded. So, but yeah, I mean, we're talking about trans related stuff. And I do want to mention, especially before the episode ends, that it was Trans Day of Remembrance this past Saturday. Now it's Sunday when we're filming, and this will be up on Monday. So I just want to kind of make a statement to, like, you know, obviously, just to bring attention to the 47 trans people that have died this year in America due to violence, and over 375 who have been killed globally, which evidently, I think it was 97% of them were people of color, trans femme, trans women. So very high percentage of trans women we lost due to violence. And it has been the biggest year for trans murdering that we've had. So I just want to kind of make that statement that obviously it's a very important day to remember and to always have those in your heart.
It's crazy to me that this year was so deadly when, I mean, we're still in a pandemic. Like, people are not really going out as much as they used to. And the fact that the amount of people that have been killed due to trans-related violence because of that, I don't really know how to feel about it, because, like, I don't know, I feel like there's lately been like a crusade against trans people. Like, we get offended at everything and we don't know how to take a joke, we take ourselves too seriously, which, I mean, you can say what you want, but at the end of the day, if this many people are being killed, there's obviously a reason for why that's happening. You know, it's not like we're just pulling things out of the air and being offended over things that don't matter. It's like dozens of people are dying because of transphobia. So, I mean, there's a reason for people to be upset. And, you know, you can say whether or not you think that people are being overdramatic, but at the end of the day, people are still dying.
Yeah. And that's just something that's really, like, if you like think about, like, that's 40, what did I say again? This year is 47. So 47 of this could have been your sister, you know, your daughter, your aunt, your cousin. Like, these are people's, like, real people with families, with lives that were just taken because of trans-related just violence, people being transphobic, harming them for their identity. And I mean, it's just, it's ridiculous that something that is like, you know, this is like what makes us beautiful, what makes us unique, something that should be praised rather than ostracized or targeted and attacked. It just makes me really sad that this obviously is still happening. And, you know, you hear a lot of like, oh, we're in like PC culture, or there's a lot of trans people are, I don't know, like taking over, or, you know, there's an agenda, and it's like, that doesn't exist. Like what you're saying is complete lies, because we're still dying. And that's where it like gets really heartbreaking. And I think a lot of it has to do obviously with, I mean, it's political for sure. But there's a lot of other factors. I don't know if you saw the whole study of, that TikTok has like radicalized people, and like social media has been like radicalizing people. So if you engage in like, on TikTok in like a few transphobic content, if you like it, if you commented on it, then TikTok would just like drag you to those areas. So then you get communities like the super straight people, and then you'll get a lot of transphobia that brews on those websites and that just passes around. And that is a big factor to a lot of this hate that I feel like a lot of trans people are experiencing. And so I want to take a day like Trans Day of Remembrance to obviously remember those who have passed, but to also push for us to be a better and more inclusive and safer future, to like build a future where trans people can be loved and accepted. And I think that's really important.
Yeah. And it's obviously a good day to remember the people that have passed away due to violence. But at the same time, if you're not trans, or if you're part of the community, or if you want to learn, I feel like people are always asking for, where's the statistics? What are the numbers? Give me proof. Like, this is proof that people are dying. So, I mean, take it upon yourself to do the research and really learn about what's going on. Because, you know, people, like I said, are so obsessed with like being proven wrong. And I mean, we have proof that people are constantly dying. This is one of this is the deadliest year. And like I said, we're in a pandemic. So, I mean, that's really all the evidence that you need that something's not right.
Yeah. There's nothing more heartbreaking than to, it's like, yeah, they're real people's lives that are being affected. And it just, this is like a statistic that I read. These are these things that I see and I read. And then I have to really, it makes me uncomfortable knowing that I can't be comfortable. Because a lot of times, especially in the city that I am, that I'm in, I'm like, yeah, like this is a really safe city. This is like a really great city. I'm safe where I am. And I'm worried that like, what if I start to feel too safe and something happens because I'm not like on guard. And I think that's where a lot of trans people are kind of existing, where we always have to feel like we're on edge, on guard, to make sure that, you know, we're not going to be harmed in just existing. And like we said earlier, like sometimes you forget that, like, you know, you've gone through your transition for so long that you don't even think twice about like your hormone anniversary, let alone someone, you know, going to clock you and want to kill you. So it just is like really scary to think that you could be targeted for being yourself. Like, it just, it like is really sad. And to see especially that it just keeps getting worse. It, like, you would think the number would get better, but it keeps getting worse. And so I'm very fearful for what this trend, if it's going to increase, or, you know, maybe it won't, but it's still way too many people to have died this year.
Yeah, it's a lot of violence. I do feel in some ways that we're making progress, but it's hard to kind of appreciate the progress and like think about moving forward when so many people are still dying. So it's like, where really is the disconnect? Like, why are people seeming to be more accepting, but at the same time, people are dying? And I think, obviously, since most of them were trans women of color, it kind of does have to go a lot back to the way trans women are perceived. And I don't know if that makes people uncomfortable, or if they have certain feel a certain type of way about a trans woman, and that obviously in many cases, as we've seen, like, causes violence. If somebody can't handle that attraction, violence comes after it. So, I mean, I think in some ways we are making progress, but at the same time, not to call you out, men, but you need to do a little bit better, because you can't just kill somebody because you're upset that they're trans and you are attracted to them. It's like, you can't do that.
Yeah. That's the most, it just is so annoying. Like how this occurs way too often. And so we need to actively do better, promote to do more. And I know it gets annoying sometimes for people to be like, put your pronouns in your bio or this or that. But I guess little things like that could help. In the grand scheme of things, we need big systemic changes, 1,000%. There needs to be a lot of support from the government. There needs to be a lot of support from our public schooling and just like local administration. It's going to take a lot of pushing in the right direction in order for something to really, truly have a meaningful, impactful change. So I guess with that being said, we just want to make like a really, really big, important note that, you know, it was Trans Day of Remembrance, and to always be cautious and aware that this is happening, and to be an advocate for it to stop happening.
Yeah. And this is like one of those days where we like to have fun and like talk about funny and silly things, but at the same time, like this is a serious thing, and you know, people's lives have been lost because of this. So it's always good to like pause and just take a second to acknowledge that this is happening, educate yourself, stay safe, utilize your resources, and hopefully the next couple of years we can try and lower this number. I mean, there really shouldn't be a number at all, but like you said, there's a lot that needs to change, and hopefully slowly but surely we'll make it there.
Yeah. So I think we just want to like end this episode on that note, just to, you know, do research into this past weekend, because to be honest, and this is like really sad, I wasn't even on social media for the first half of the day. And it wasn't until like the second half when I went on and I was like, oh, today's Trans Day of Remembrance. And it's unfortunate that like, I wasn't even aware of it. And that's the part of me that needs to do better. Like, I acknowledge that I need to do better and to be more of an advocate that I can, whether that's online, whether that's locally in my community. I need to be able to push more for those around me that will need the support. So, you know, in the end, I just want to leave that note there, and I want to end it with that note. I don't mean to like it end on a sad note, but I think it's important that we do. And
Yeah. So again, not to be like sad, but it is a sad thing.
Yeah.
We were talking about like two different, completely different spectrums, but again, it's important to talk about it. But like you said, do your research and have a good Thanksgiving if you celebrate.
Yes.
I don't really like turkey, but I hope the turkey that you eat is the most juicy and succulent turkey that you ever have.
Hey, unless you're a vegetarian,
you want to eat like,
then enjoy your mashed potatoes.
Yeah, mashed potatoes and whatever people eat on Thanksgiving. I'm not a big fan of Thanksgiving food, but that's...
Yeah, me neither. I hate it, actually. But yeah, all right. So thank you guys for watching and listening. You can find us everywhere at girlishpodcast.com. So if you go to girlishpodcast.com, all of our socials, everything's going to be there. Our YouTube channel, subscribe to it. We'll post videos every Friday and the audio podcast every Monday. Thank you for all the support and all the love. And we'll see you guys in the next episode.
Bye. Happy holidays.
Happy holidays.